Reading from the Old Testament, the fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 34. And Moses went up to the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo. And the Lord showed him all the land. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your descendants. I've let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." The word of the Lord. Moses' view from Mount Nebo. He's already arrived, but the people have not yet entered, and he will not go. Already, not yet. It illustrates the two theological and in some ways liturgical principles of Advent. Advent celebrates and commemorates in a very real way the coming birth of Jesus, the Christmas season for us. And we count down week 4, 3, 2, 1, and the event is here, and we celebrate Christmas. The coming of Christ, the child in the manger. But metaphorically also, looking ahead to the second coming of Christ, to which all of us have a view somewhat like Moses' view from Mount Nebo. Unless the wacky cultists are right, we will probably not see the second coming of Christ in our own lifetime. We're likely to have a pretty good ringside seat. But it hasn't happened yet. Already, we've had many Christmases, and we look ahead to Christmas 2008. But not yet the second coming of Christ. We live in between. We live in a very real way, as did Moses, looking at the promised land from Mount Nebo. In the midst of that, the first Sunday in Advent is the Sunday of hope. What gives us hope for the as yet untold future of all humankind or of our own personal humankind? What gives us hope? The symbols of Advent, I think, are especially useful. The circle of the Advent wreath involves, it gives us an image of completeness, one that is very prevalent if you look closely at God's creation and also at our own human customs. Think of the things that we give to people, perhaps as Christmas gifts or wedding gifts and so on. Most of the jewelry that we wear, especially jewelry that we wear that has been given to us by someone who loves us very much, is in the shape of a circle, a bracelet, a necklace, a wedding ring. Full circle, a full circle of feeling and experience, completeness that leaves us with a sense of hope. Imagine God's gifts to God's creation, the circles we get as perhaps jewels in the sky, the moon that revolves around the earth, which revolves around the sun, along with many other circular planets. The whole solar system revolves around, well, we're not exactly sure. We haven't learned everything there is to know about the nature and function and process of the universe. But we have images of circles that leave us with a sense of hope. The moon is full circle every 28 days or so, but most of the time it's in between. And in and of itself, the lunar cycle, a kind of metaphor for the cycle of the human life. Well, how do we apply these images, these metaphors, and these gifts to the very day-by-dayness of our own lives, such that we're left with a greater sense of hope? Several different ways, I think, of at least three. We've been with family this week. A blessing, a mixed blessing maybe. There's an already we have this family that not yet is fully complete and sometimes drives us crazy. We've all heard stories and maybe been a part of stories of complicated families where, well, the kids have to eat 2 Thanksgiving dinners to make sure we get from here to there and so on. And yet, Thanksgiving, Christmas season, Christmas, family takes precedence over everything else, for better or worse. But it illustrates the importance of, the centrality of, and the hope within family. There's a lot of things we're missing out on, spending 2 weeks with family. But family comes first, and that's a blessing. And it leaves us with a sense of hope. Not yet everything it will be, but a source of strength, hope, and for at least one part of the year, and it cycles back to this every year, family's a priority, and that's a blessing. A blessing of coming full circle, if you will, to the holiday season. So also friendship in some ways. A lot of people I know roll their eyes, speak a little cynically, and complain about those newsy little Christmas letters we start getting about this time of year. You know, the kids did this, the grandkids did that, and so on. And it's sort of like she stuck in a plum and pulled out a thumb, or whatever it is, and said, what a good family we have, you know. I like those newsy little deals. I like getting some information about people I don't get in touch with often enough. Got two alumni magazines this week, one from the University of Wisconsin, one from my seminary. First thing I do when I get those things, I look at the class notes. Who that I graduated with, what are they up to? What's happened? I want to know. The seminary is the only school I've been to where I actually knew the names of everybody in my graduating class, and I always check that out. And I always vow to get in touch with somebody again. And sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. But I do plan to call an old buddy of mine from grad school that I haven't talked to in too long. And I think about that and do some of that every year, about this time of year. When the newsy Christmas letters come, when the alumni magazines come, I come full circle and get in touch with and celebrate the value of friendship, which leaves me ever more hopeful for the coming year. Family, friendship, the images we get from God in the sky and on our hands are designed to strengthen our faith. I find, especially at this time of year, my faith a little bit stronger when I ponder the nature of the universe. And of course, the Christmas story has a star in the sky, and then of course I get to thinking about it. I started thinking this week about an image that is at the essence of human life. This is a very crude representation of a molecule. Those of you that have had organic chemistry, perhaps, you know what this represents. A carbon atom surrounded by four hydrogen atoms. A crude representation because this hydrocarbon, methane, the simplest of all hydrocarbons, is not really in a linear form. The atoms circle around as though it were a sphere. But it's the basic form of organic matter, the simplest hydrocarbon, carbon atoms and hydrogen atoms. Well, you take the human being. At our molecular essence, we are mostly carbon, hydrogen, little oxygen and nitrogen thrown in. We're somewhat more complex hydrocarbons. I find my faith somewhat strengthened to know that I, as a human being, have similar properties connected to the way life was drawn up, hydrocarbons among other things. But even more interesting than that, the molecular form of a hydrocarbon looks very much like a solar system. And I'm told that physicists studying subatomic particles, not just molecules and atoms like hydrogen and carbon, but the subatomic particles, quarks and quasars and things I can't begin to understand, they study that stuff at the subatomic level to learn about the nature of the universe. I find that full circle of imagery refreshing and strengthening in my faith. There is a steady hand on the tiller that created the heavens and the earth, the molecules and the subatomic particles, and the somewhat more complex hydrocarbons that become, well, they become the people I care about and care about me. I find that strengthens my faith. I find it strengthens my faith to know that the Texas Department of Child and Protective Services uses an interesting metaphorical name for a type of case that they have, quite frankly, all too often, illustrating again the already but not yet incompleteness of our life. Infants, often as not, although not always, that are left at hospitals, fire stations, churches, other places that are abandoned, essentially, become known as baby Moses cases. I like that name. It suggests that there's an element of certainty and hope that goes with the next Moses, if you will, found in the bulrushes, grown to be the man who led the people to the promised land, even though he didn't get to go. I like it that they call him that. It gives me a sense of hope in a way. And I also find my faith strengthened and my hope grown when I watch the youngest in our own family these days, the 3-month-old, just this last week, almost come within an inch of rolling over, of forming her first circle, not yet, but close. She will form and be a part of many circles of growth and development throughout her whole life. But she's almost there to the first one. Well, all of these images, pictures, and metaphors, molecules and planets and children and cases, leave me with both the reality that I'm not there yet, I'm not all that I will be, nor is our world, but we're on the way to becoming full circle. And that leaves me with a sense of hope. We all stand at Mount Nebo in our own way, looking out to what we will not fully see and experience, looking back on where we've come, the people with whom we've shared this good life, the people we at this moment love and who love us. Not quite full circle, but full of hope. Amen.